Father, thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your strength, your wisdom. And I thank you for the whole of the scripture. Wisdom is contained therein. Knowledge is contained therein. Understanding is contained therein. And in some way you give us a transference of your spirit. For the words that you've had spoken, a spirit in life. Lord, in areas where we're in the dark, in areas where we are having shortcomings, I ask you to provide the light and the strength to lift us up out of the clay. To let us become like princes, people that have been raised from the dunghill and able to sit with nobility, all because of you. Help us to identify with you, not just with our mouths, but with our life, so that when the holy angels look at us, they can see that we are walking in your goodness, in your grace. We ask you to look upon us, help us, and aid us in glorifying you with our lives, with our spirit. We ask you to grant us the right frame of mind. We ask you to grant us health. We ask you to grant us whatever it needs to, we need to facilitate doing your work. Spreading the leaven, taking your word to the masses, upholding whatever it is you want us to uphold, not by might or power, but by your blessed spirit, I pray. In the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus, the magnificent Christ, amen, amen, and even so, amen. With great joy, we look in the 12th chapter again of the book of the Revelation, and we see a theme that emerges. I no doubt could probably go through this 12th chapter 5 or 6 more times and see another theme, but the theme that I want to deal with tonight in this particular passage is, for the family of God, if Satan does not hate you, then you're not a child of God. Let's not divorce it from the 12 churches. I'm not the 12 churches, the 7 churches. I don't know where I got 12, but probably from the 12th chapter. But for the 7 churches in Asia Minor, it's imperative for these people to know that if Satan does not hate you, if the opposition of Rome does not come against you, if the opposition from false witnesses and false doctors and the deacons and the doctors of devils does not come against you, and that the weariness of your flesh does not come against you, then you're not really a child of God. You see, he told those people that if they did not hold on, their candlestick would be removed. He is not removing his candlestick or the lampstand from those that are walking with God. The individual that walks with God and turns his back on the Almighty, who is blessed forever, amen, and become apostate, he becomes an enemy to God. I understand that people say that you cannot walk away from God once you come to God, but the whole of the scripture does not agree with that. The whole of the scripture does not show me when I read it that people do not turn from the living God and turn their back from him. Therefore, no matter how I can systematize the scripture in my mind or in the thousands of books that God has allowed me to have access to, I read the words. And James tell me that friendship with this world will make me the enemy God. And I don't want to be on that side of the ledger. Now let's move to this 12th chapter again. We've talked about the wonder in heaven. We've talked about the woman and the son. We've talked about it from the vantage point of Israel. We've talked about this woman from many aspects, from a historical side, where definitely they would be talking about it being the church. And we've talked about it from a Frederick side. But you know what? Let's run through it and let's see this theme that we're talking about here. And never leave the emphasis that this is to a church, and this is to seven segments of the church, or seven churches in Asia Minor, that realize that this God of heaven is going to fight, and that the souls under the altar are going to be vindicated, and that the very man that Jesus told whenever he was being tried, the high priest, it won't be long, baby boy. Well, don't say baby boy, Timmy. Go back to the scripture. Don't use the talk of your culture. It won't be long, and you'll see the Son of Man coming in power, in glory. Well, if he tore his robe at him saying it, wonder what he did when he started to see it. John says in 12:1, and there appeared a great miracle, wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, clothed with light. And the moon under her feet, she has a certain amount of authority. And a crown of 12 stars. We've talked before about Joseph and his brothers, but we also realize, maybe we don't realize, but there's a thing called a Maseroth. The Maseroth, we can tell, or there's been many that have gone through and talked about how that God would allow the stars to give information about what was going to happen insofar as his son coming to earth, his son ruling, and redemption. And what ends up happening is that people would take what was the Maseroth and they would pervert it and use that to call themselves telling the future. The real emphasis here would be the woman. The woman is clothed. The woman has authority. The woman is crowned. Who is she? She's being with child, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. She is travailing in birth. She wants to bring forth a child. This woman that has majesty. This woman that is clothed with light. This woman that has some authority and that is crowned with glory. She is swollen with child. But then, if you look around, there's another image that's there. There appears another miracle, another wonder, another sign in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, a nemesis, having seven heads and 10 horns, seven crowns upon his head. The emblematic picture of the destruction and the rebellion of mankind that has given himself over to the God of this world. They have given himself over to the very one that in Luke chapter 4 told the Lord Jesus Christ, I can give you the kingdoms of this world if you bow down to me. I can give you the authority over the dragon that will be coming forth in the book of the Revelation. Since the kingdoms of this world have been set up in an emblem of this dragon. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven. Are these the same stars that the woman had? Are these different stars? This third part of the star makes you think of the third part of the trees that we read about in earlier part of the book of the Revelation. Is this tale going to draw a third part of Israel? Is this third part going to be talking about individual angels of sin that we see in 2 Peter 2 and 4 that kept not their first estate but left their own habitation but are reserved in the chains of darkness? Jude recapitulates that. And everlasting chains of darkness until the judgment of the great day. His tail, he flexes his little muscles or his big muscles. It shows that he has power to bring down that which is in an elevated position. Therefore, he's showing that he is a worthy combatant. And he stood before the woman. Thus far, when we've gone through the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, amen, we saw people stand before God. And when they stood before God, that was a position of being in the position to receive from God that which God had to benefit his people, to exact judgment, or to bring about redemption, or to do his will. Because you stand before God, you're going to go and get to have the opportunity to represent him. Now we see that this woman has a nemesis there, and he stands before the woman. The woman which was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. Again, if we're saying that this message and the emphasis that we're going to talk about tonight is that if you are not hated by the dragon, by the devil, by Satan, I submit to you that you are not a child of God. To those seven churches in Asia Minor, I need you to understand something. I need you to understand this, that this dragon is after the woman, and he's also after the child. Look at it. He stands before the woman. He's ready to devour the child as soon as it was born. Two enemies. You seven churches in Asia Minor, understand this. You have entered into something that's bigger than you are, and it's very real. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, or to shepherd all nations with a secure rod of iron. And the child was caught up unto God to his throne. This dragon wanted to devour. He wanted to destroy her and the child. I will submit to you that this woman is in the place of the individual that pleases God, that's living with God, and therefore the woman is the enemy to the dragon. I will submit to you that this child that is coming forth from the woman is an enemy of the dragon, and this child is going to be hated. And therefore, to the seven churches in Asia Minor, if you are associated with, and if you are a relative, if you are one with this woman and the child, you'll be an enemy of God. If not, you don't belong to him. Well, it says the child was caught up to God and to his throne. Well, let's unravel at least a little piece of this, because we want to understand some things as we move along. We don't want to walk all the way through it and then have to go back and jump to it. So let's get one picture from Jesus about anything or something coming to earth. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 3. That's the Gospel of John chapter 3. Listen to what Jesus says to this man who comes to him by night, named Nicodemus. When he comes to Jesus at night, he said, "We know you're a teacher that come." I'm in verse 2. "We know you're a teacher that come from God, because no man can do these miracles, these wonders, or these signs that you do except God be with him." Jesus answered and said, "Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Therefore, if he cannot see the kingdom of God, he will not be involved with the man child that will rule all nations in the kingdom of God with a rod of iron. He will not, because he won't even be able to see it. Nicodemus wanted to know, how can that be? Can a man be born when he's old? Does he enter the womb the second time? Listen to what Jesus said. This is very important. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot enter into that rulership. Well, he goes down and tells him about the Spirit and how these things work. And then he gives him the sum total in a form of a statement that will apply to all. Verse 12 says, I better read 11, because 11 is going to be very important. Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know. That's important. We speak that we know. And listen to this part. This part is so crucial. And testify what we have seen. What we want to know is what is he going to talk about that he knows, and what is he going to testify that he has seen, because the same one that's telling these things is the same one that's reporting these things is the same one that's reporting what he saw in heaven. He said, but you receive not our witness. Listen, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? That sounds rhetorical, but listen to what he says in 13. And no man has ascended up to heaven. Not Moses, not Adam, not Enoch. He said, and no has ascended up into heaven. But I thought Enoch was translated. I thought he lied. No man has ascended to the very place of the things that I'm telling you about. I'm telling you heavenly things, but you can't see it. I'm telling you that what I have seen. No man has ascended to heaven. Well, look at what we see in verse 5 in Revelation chapter 12. As she brought forth a man child who is the ruler of nations with iron, her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Wait a minute. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. No man has gone there and can come back and tell you what's going on and tell you about the heavenly things. Not one. There is not one. I can talk to a prophet. I can talk to an ass. I can talk to an angel. But there's not been one that's been there to see it. But there's one that's been there, that has seen it, that's come down to tell you what is in heaven. Now, the beautiful thing about this, how is he saying the Son of Man, which is in heaven? That's very important that we understand this. I want us to understand that the way that he is saying this is very deep, and if we understand this, we can walk with this. Listen to what he says in John 17 and 21. You want to go to the 20th verse when he's making his high priestly prayer. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now, what I'm getting ready to show you is that in order for you to be with God, in order for you to be hated by Satan, you will have to be identified with the woman and the child. I will submit to you that these seven churches in Asia Minor have to be identified with that one. If not, you're no threat. You're no problem to Satan. So, the child I'm going to go ahead and tell you is the Lord Jesus, but then I'm going to show you again that it's not just going to be the Lord Jesus. It's going to be all those that are identified with him that are called Christ and are called his body. And I want to show you that woman is going to be those that have been faithful to him, not just biologically Israel, biologically or membership, but that they have entered into a realm of not just being that which is born of flesh. It's these that have been born of the water and the Spirit, and they see the kingdom of God. about the spiritual kind of thing where people say they're spiritual and they're proud of it. Everybody's spiritual, but this is a godly spiritual thing. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for all them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, are in me and I in thee. How can he say no man can tell you these things, anybody has ascended to heaven, but the Son of Man which descended, who is in heaven? The reason he can say that he is in heaven is because he says, Father, you are in me and I am in thee. Where is the Father? What did he tell them when they asked to pray, to teach them how to pray? Our Father which art in heaven. I am in the Father. The Father is in me. So he says that they may be one. And Trina, I'm telling you now, we're one as he is in the Father, and as the Father is in him, we will be one, that we will be identified with the child, we will be identified with the woman. I'm talking about if we are sincerely in him, not just running our mouth, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And that the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that what? That they may be one, even as we are one. Now, I don't understand why people can't understand this when they talk about God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and not see that they are one. But he's saying even in that, that we can be the same way. Listen. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I am never going to be the Father. I am never going to be the Son. I am never going to be the Holy Spirit. But if I become born, if I am born of the Spirit, I can be one in union with them. Again, 23. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect, complete in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and has loved them as, listen to this, as thou hast loved me. And if this prayer that Jesus made, if this prayer fits us, if it fits the family, I'm talking about those that say they love God, then rest fully assured, in as much as Satan hates the child, in as much as Satan hates this woman, in as much as these seven churches in Asia Minor are going to have to go through, and he has promised them that if they would overcome, listen to what he's telling them. This has to be. We're one. We are one, perfectly joined together in one by the Spirit. What did he say? Father, I know that we're one, but I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Just like I can say the Son of Man who is in heaven, I want them to be able to be with me in heaven. I want them to be seated with me in heavenly places. I want them to be where I am. I also want them to be able to one day in a real, not just, well, both are real, but I want them to ultimately be with me and behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me from the foundation of the world. So the dragon, he wants to devour the woman. I'm back in Revelation. He wants to devour the child as soon as it's born. He's shown this before. It was promised, and we've talked about it before, that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. We have seen that the woman was represented in Israel before, and Satan tried to use Pharaoh, the dragon of the Old Testament, the Bible called Egypt, the dragon of Pharaoh, a dragon before, tried to kill the baby boys. We moved on down, and we got to the New Testament where Herod, he tried to kill the baby boys, 2 years old and under, to destroy, because he was being used by Satan to destroy his enemy, the child of the woman. Well, the Bible says in the 6th verse, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. The woman fled into a wilderness. The woman fled to not the best place. The woman did what Elijah did. She fled into the wilderness. When Jezebel wanted to destroy Elijah, he went to the wilderness. And God had a place prepared for him, gave him water, and fed him with a raven. You know, a raven normally would not be bringing anybody any food. A raven can eat carrion. Have a fed and protected the rescore. Well, there's a 1,203 score days. And it moves. It looks like it's moving away. But remember, the sign was in heaven. The sign of the woman was in heaven. The sign of the dragon was in heaven. And now we look again. There's war in heaven. And Michael and his angel, the same word. I don't know why they use in English, say use the word fought instead of the same word war, because it could have been said there was a fight in heaven. But Michael and his angel warred against the dragon, and the dragon warred at his angels. Here's a fight. This is what he saw, a fight in heaven. Michael and his angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. Now, many believe that this Michael is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as opposed to being Michael, an angel that is created. So you have some of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, better known as the Jehovah's Witness. You have some that are of the Seventh-day Adventists, and you also have some that are Reformed to say that this Michael is the very one that is Jesus the Christ, and it is used this way. And I always had problems. I never understood how they would come up with that. For the sake of giving me just a little time to show you where that comes from, if you look in the book of Exodus chapter 15 and 11, you will get a clue, because see, the name Michael means who is like God. So if you look at Exodus 15 and 11, you will see that the verse comes out, and it says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, O Yahweh, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? This is where you get this from. This is where they pull this from. Psalms 89, verse 6 and 7, again. For who in heaven can be compared unto thee, Lord? So you know that this would mean none. Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the holy ones, not just saints, the holy ones. This could be a reference to his divine counsel, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Listen to this. O Lord of hosts, or of armies, who is strong like unto thee? To thy faithfulness round about thee. Psalm 35 and 10 gives you a little bit more of that, where it says, all my bones shall say, Lord, who is alike unto thee? Let me move from Psalms to Isaiah, to let Isaiah come on the scene and say some of that. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare him? Again, we know that the emphasis of that should be no one. Again, in Isaiah 46 and 5, to whom will you liken me and make my equal? We know that John chapter 5, if we're familiar with the scripture, Jesus said, when he told the people, as the Father give life, I give life. And the people got upset and said, he's making us equal with God. And whom? And compare me that we may be like. Jeremiah, the last one I put on the witness stand, I'm not going to bring up all my references. In Jeremiah 50 and 44, listen to what Brother Jeremiah says here. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan unto the habitation of the strong, but I will make them suddenly run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that shall stand before me? Therefore, hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he has taken against Babylon. I wanted you all to at least know that that's where he was coming from. So with that, with those statements, what ends up happening is it is said that this means that that very person is being talked about right there when it's Michael, is the Lord Jesus himself. So if you hear somebody say that and you've got an idea, they may not know why. They may have just heard somebody say it. This is why some say that. I can't cast my lot on that, but I do know that the Lord Jesus Christ would be the one or the word. Here when it says there was war in heaven and Michael and his angels fought, and someone could say that Michael, how can he have angels if he's an angel himself? Well, you're talking about the dragon or the devil and his angels fighting. But there's one last thing. You see, there's other people in the Bible that's named Micaiah, Micah. Their name means who is like God. There's another issue in Jude where the devil fought with Michael over the body of Moses, and the Bible said that even Michael did not bring against him a railing accusation, but says the Lord rebuked thee. So that's one of the reasons why I hold back on that, but I wanted to at least bring it. Now let's get to the meat. Michael is the protector of the children of God. We've seen that in the book of Daniel. And now there is war in heaven. And Michael and those that are with him, they fight against the dragon. This is not the earthly dragon right here. We're talking about Egypt or the Pharaoh. This is the dragon, the devil, and he fights back. But he did not prevail. There was not found any place anymore in heaven. And listen to what he says here. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil, which is the accuser. And Satan, the accuser and the one that blasphemed the people, he deceived the whole world. He was cast into the earth. And his angels cast out with him. If you are in the seven churches of Asia Minor and you are deceived, and you feel that what the dragon has to offer is more pleasant to the eyes, to make you wise, to bring comfort, then rest fully assured you are not identified with the woman or the child, and you are not a threat, and you are not an enemy of Satan. When did this happen? Again, many feel that this happened sometime before man was created. But I remember that Ann and I had a discussion on this last week, and it was kind of neat when she brought up this magnificent scripture, because I was like, yes, that's it. I take from the scripture, John chapter 12, verse 31, and Jesus made a statement. He made a statement, this was real, real, real good. It comes on the heel of the 26th verse before we get to the 31st. He says, if any serve me, some verses will put man in italics, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be. Where did he tell Nicodemus he was? He was in heaven. Now you got to understand it in the context of how he says it. He says, and there will my servant be, and if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. But for this cause I came, until this hour. In other words, the dragon is wanting to slay me. Verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it. I've already done it, and I will do it again. Therefore, the people that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, the voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now, not tomorrow, now, not next year, now, not 2,000 years from now. Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the judgment of this world. That's what it's called, a definite article. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out. The prince of this world, the one that offered me the kingdom of this world in a moment of time. Now, the one that offered me the kingdom of this world that is emblematically set up as the beast that Daniel saw, as the statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw, he is cast, the one that is in charge of that is cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. All men, if I be lifted up, I'm going to be lifted up on the cross. This Bible said this is signifying the death that he would die. And the people say, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth. In other words, when you talk about the Son of Man being lifted up, being put to death that he's going to die, rest fully assured, before he dies, he tells the high priest that the Son of Man is going to go up again, and he's going to come in the clouds of glory. And when he's coming in the clouds of glory, he's going up to receive a kingdom. And when he receives a kingdom, he's going to be able to give that kingdom and give it to his saints that they will rule and they will reign with him. Therefore, the dragon does not want him to be lifted up to the position of the one that ascends back into heaven and have the royal coronation. Because when he does that, those that are with him gets to rule and reign with him to the seven churches in Asia Minor and to us today. If the dragon does not want to treat you like he treats the woman and treats that child, you're not an enemy of his. You mean nothing. The dragon was cast out of his access, like going back and forth in the days of Job when you start reading. Verse 10 of Revelation 12 says, and this is important, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation for those that are affiliated, part of the woman, for those that are identified with the Son. The scripture says, now is come salvation. Well, people felt like there was always salvation. Well, let's see what the Bible says about that. I'm going to go to Hebrews 11 and 32 and let you see that it's important that he said, now has come salvation. The Bible says in that particular chapter, verse 32, what shall I more say? He had given a whole list of people who had walked by faith. It says, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah of David and Samuel of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. God was allowing them on the earth to do a little bit of what he's going to allow them to do when they reign with Christ. Wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the mouths of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of this way made strong, wax valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women, Yes, women. Listen to what the word of God says about the women. Receive that dead raised to life again. Because really, a woman receives life one time when she gets impregnated and when she delivers a child, and they receive that dead raised to life again. Others were tortured. Understand this. Those that say you want to be with Christ, those that are a part of the woman, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. In other words, a salvation. Others had a trial of cruel mocking and scourging that were beaten. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. Can you see? Can you feel what he's saying? That Antipas was a faithful martyr. Some of them will be tried 10 days. Then he says to these individuals, if they be faithful in the death, he'll give them a crown of life. Here are people, before I came in the flesh and went through this, he said they were stoned. They were sown asunder, the tempted, they were slain with the sword, and they wondered about his sheepskin, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. I will submit to you before we get to it, and I will show you at the end of the revelation. I may just skip and show you now, but the word of God will show that these are the ones that were part of the woman. This was part of the woman before the woman ever got a chance to have the child born. Let me show you. I'm going to read this 12th chapter and the 17th verse so that you will understand what I'm talking about. And it says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God. There has always been a remnant that would keep the commandments of God. Even Abraham kept the commandments of God before they were written in stone. But look at the and here in verse 17. And have the testimony and the witness of Jesus Christ. Have the witness. In other words, the way it's written in Greek, they have the witness, the Jesus Christ. In other words, these people not only have what the other ones had, but they have the fulfillment of the child being brought into the world, and this child having been the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us to be priests of God and of Christ. And these individual peoples are tied up together with the woman because they have trusted in God. They have been faithful. They have held on. It's not biological. It's because a picture of the mother. What do you mean the mother? The mother is the faithful witness. It's not just Israel proper, as you come out biologically. It's those that are the children of God by faith, like Abraham and like Isaac was a seed of promise. And from that seed of promise, we get the child. But the child came through the faithful ones to the remnant, and the child becomes the head of the faithful witness. The child becomes the head, and remember, the assembles have certain ways that it goes. The child becomes the head of the woman, and the woman that was the faithful emblem now is the faithful emblem that has the testimony of Christ. The dragon hates her, and the child is also identified with the people, and he is also called in Ephesians the head of the body. If you're not identified with the woman and the child, you are actually not an enemy of Satan, you're an enemy of God, and you have no part with him. So let me go back to where I was in Hebrews and show you this woman before Christ came, or before the child was before the child was able to be lifted up into heaven, because the dragon has always wanted to kill the child. He says, they were stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the edge of the sword, wondered about in sheepskin, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. I want us to understand this. These people, you can preach a sermon. These people went through all of this, trying to help people, trying to stand strong, trusting God. The world wasn't worthy to have them to be there with them. The world, God said it in his word. these people whom the world wasn't worthy, while other people lived in palaces and houses and sealed tiles. They wandered about in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. But look, all these have obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. My point being made here, this was the woman. This was the woman before she brought forth the child. When the child is brought forth, the woman is still a threat. The woman is still a threat to what Satan wants to do. Although Satan is now being cast out. Satan is cast out. He is cast out at the death of the child that will be carried up. How do you know these things, Tim? Because the Bible tells us. The same book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 2, it tells us that he did it. How do you know he tells us? Listen to what the Bible says. It's very important that we learn to love what the Bible says. The Bible talks about, in the 7th verse of the 2nd chapter, talking about man that God has made, let's just read it to him. But he said in a certain place, verse 6, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that you visitest him. Okay? You have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor, and you did set him over the works of your hand. You have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he has put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, not just man, we don't, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, so that the Son of Man be lifted up, talking about the death that he would do. And it says, crowned him with glory and honor. Mm-hmm, that means he ascended up, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for who are all things, and whom are all things, that in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. The captain of their salvation is made complete through suffering. Well, what does that mean? He has made it where he can save every single one of them, just like when he says in the book of John, where he said that Satan would be cast out, and pretty much his kingdom would come to an end. In Revelation 20, when they said, now is salvation and glory and honor is because of what he did. Somebody say, Tim, I don't understand, so I'm going to break it down to you. I'm going to read this 14th verse to save time. He says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that's flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power over death. He came to destroy him, that serpent, that dragon, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Again, 18, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, it's 2 and 18, he is able also to secure or save them that are tempted. So we see where he has taken the woman, she has been nourished for a while, and the serpent cast out of his mouth as a flood after the woman. Well, what in the world are we talking about here? As a flood. Rest fully assured. You could look to history and see there was a literal flood, such as one that prevented the Jews of Gadara from escaping across the Jordan from the Romans in March AD 68. But what about the one that we have always seen? The flood of false doctrine, the flood of autonomy, the flood that causes the word of God to be stolen from an individual mouth, the very thing that he did when he issued war against Eve, it came out of his mouth. It was just like a flood. It came through and swept him out of the garden. Now I understand, somebody say, Tim, you're getting spiritual. sin, not knowing how to trust God's eternal word because of the fact I've listened to the wrong thing and I've gotten outside of God's eternal will, and now I'm walking about being an enemy of God, not knowing the joy that is just like the woman had to suffer and had to get away, that child had to suffer. God takes him up to heaven, rest fully assured to those seven churches in Asia Minor, and what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But why is that so? That's the question. Why is it that we have to be identified with the woman like that? Why do we have to be identified with the child like that? It's because this is what he said before he was elevated to that position. John 15:20, Jesus says, remember the word that I said unto you. It's John 15:20. The servant is not greater than his Lord. Yet they have persecuted me. They did say might in your version, and they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Understand, these are the emissaries of the dragon. These are the emissaries of the dragon with the various things that of the flood bring against the children of God. Verse 21 says, but all these things will they do to you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If we, the children of God, are not identified with the woman, the remnant, and her child, we have no place with God. We're not the enemy of the dragon. We're the enemy of God. I like this 22nd verse. I really wasn't, but I got to. He said, if I had not given them, they had no sin, but now they have no cloak, no excuse for their sins. Again, he that hates me hates my Father also. Look at John. We move to chapter 16. I must read this. I think it's very important. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. I'm offended. Listen to what he says in verse 2. They shall put you out of their synagogues, their place where they worship. Yes, the time cometh that whosoever killeth or tries to devour you or tries to destroy you would think that they do God service. Verse 16. Of chapter of the Revelation. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood that the dragon cast out of his mouth. The earth, the land. We see that the land, the earth, helped the woman coming out of Egypt. When God allowed in particular the earth to open up from the water, that part of the earth, and closed up and killed. We definitely saw that when they tried to go against God using Korah, David, and Abiram, that would have destroyed the woman had they allowed the priesthood to get out of order. Moses wasn't the one that came up with the idea of having a high priest. Moses wasn't the one to tell to let them know which way they go on his own. There was one way that God wanted to be worshipped, so he could set the picture. And look at all of the times that we've seen that God has used little things to save his people. But in this case, the earth helped. How do you say that the earth helped? Well, didn't Jesus say that except the corn of wheat fall into the earth, it remains alone? But if it dies, it brings forth more. When Satan did his thing and wanted him to be killed and wanted his body to be placed in the earth, what he did then was he messed up, because he killed one that was innocent. You had him cursed hanging on a tree, and God reversed what you did and showed that what you did was wrong. And those that identify with him, they get to rule and reign with him. because the death could not hold him. According to the scripture that was prophesied, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit here at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And he said he would not leave his soul in hell, neither allow his Holy One to see corruption. And it said, and the dragon was wroth with the woman. He was upset and could not destroy that child that was taken up to heaven. But the dragon was wroth with the woman. The full body of those that believe in God all the way and went to fight or make war with the remnant of her seed. We call that the church, which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. He went to make war. He wants to get them. He hates them with all of his might. And the reason that he hates them with all of their might is because they represent him. As Paul found out, when Saul was persecuting the church. Well, what did the Bible say? The Bible says in the 11th verse, listen, this is so beautiful. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Remember the Old Testament. They overcame the death angel by the blood of the Lamb, but that was only a picture. These that have now heard that salvation has come, that strength has come in verse 10, that the kingdom of God has come, and the power of Christ has come, the accuser is cast down, and the one that accused day and night, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They have been identified with the blood of the Lamb. They have been made themselves sheep for the slaughter, and the word of their testimony, they did not love their life unto the death like those that preceded them in the 11th chapter of Hebrews that were a remnant. These people have done the same thing to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Don't let them outdo you to those of us that say that we love God. Now, how can we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and confirmed by those that heard him with signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Spirit? How? So he said, rejoice, O heaven, and ye that dwell in them, the inhabitants of the earth. The devil has come down to you. Who? The one that is the remnant. To who? The one that loves God. To who? The one that has the power. The one that has the strength. The one that is in the kingdom of God. The one that knows that the accuser of the brother is lying on them. To the one that love not their life unto the death, because rest fully assured, we already have been told that people will kill. They will kill. And when they kill, they think that they do God's service. He knows that his time is short. In other words, you have a certain amount of time now. It's limited at one particular time. If you could stop that seed, that child, you feel like you have an indeterminate amount of time. So it says in the serpent, not the serpent, it says, and the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. We discussed that before, but I just, for the sake of love, I want us to see that that two wings of the eagle is just, it's talking about God. It's talking about God's provision. He told them back in Exodus 19:4, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, the Egyptian Pharaoh, the dragon. And how I bear you on eagle's wings. And I brought you to myself. Do you understand? This is, I want you to hold it in your mind. You see what I did to the Egyptians? How I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. If you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you will be a peculiar treasure above all people of the earth, for the earth is mine. I want us to hold that. But I need to go to Deuteronomy 32 and 10. This is after the passage that you know I like to talk about when God separates the nations. But after we see him separate the nations, there's something else that is said that's vitally important in Deuteronomy 32 and 10. He talks about Israel. After he said that the Lord's portion is his people, he said he found him in a desert land, in a waste and howling wilderness. He led him about and instructed him and kept him as the apple of his eye and as an eagle stirs up his nest, fluttereth over his young or over her young. Spread abroad her wings and take them and bear them up, so the Lord alone did lead him. And he talks about the sweet provision that God did. But this is beautiful right here. But he said, you see how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself? There's a reason that you need to be brought to him. There's a way in which we are brought to him. And I just want to show us how that is, and then I can end there. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, listen, well, you better do 17. He tells us, listen, you know what? Let's just be good. And let's just look at verse 14, since we're talking about the child and the woman. For the love of Christ, it impels us, it constrains us, because we thus judge it. If one died for all, then we all are dead. In other words, if you are identified with that child, if you identify with that child that was taken up into heaven, if you identify with the child that destroyed the works of the devil through death, then his death was also a death for you. That if one died, then we all are dead. We identify with him as having been dead or put to death for the sin through the transference. And that he, listen, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died and rose again. Okay? You identify with him, the one who Satan hates, the one who is one with God, the one that when he was on earth was still in heaven, the one that wants us to be one in him as he is in the Father, that we may be perfect in one together, one with another in him as a child of God. It says, it doesn't stop there. It said, and that he died for all, that they which should live should not henceforth live to themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth we know no man after the flesh, yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, what we're getting back to is what God said in Exodus 19 and 4. You see what I did to the Egyptians? I did that. And how I bear you on eagle's wing? I did that protection from you. I brought you that deliverance and brought you to myself. Do you see it? Listen to what he says here. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Just like he brought the church in the wilderness to himself by the deliverance, I'm still doing the same thing, bringing you to myself, and the dragon didn't like it. You faithful? All things are of God, who has reconciled or brought us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Just like he reconciled us to himself by Christ, he's going to reconcile others to himself by us. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed to us the word of reconciliation. If we are going to be in the woman, the remnant, and if we are going to be identified with that child, Christ, we should be doing the same thing he did, reconciling the world to himself, and in our lives, destroying the works of the devil by living the life that we're supposed to live. Again, verse 20. Now then, we are the ambassadors of Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. But God has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The dragon, he hated the power and the authority of the woman. He hated the position that the woman would have. He hated the glory that the woman had. And he did everything he could to tarnish the woman. He tempted her. She became a whore. He would accuse. He would hurt. But there was always a remnant. And out of that remnant, as we read in the book of Isaiah, when we go through that, became a faithful servant, not a dumb servant, not a foolish servant. We got one that became a faithful witness, a true witness, one that was able to go all the way to the end and say it is finished. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. The child went up into heaven. He was exalted and given a name that's above every name. Do we get to have that name placed on us? Will the dragon hate us? Are we a threat to the dragon's kingdom? The churches in Asia Minor were told, overcome, overcome, overcome. And in that overcoming, you'll be a witness. You'll be a witness to the ungodly world. You'll be a witness to those that came before you that were faithful unto death. You will also receive your crown of life. And if God's grace allows you to help reconcile someone to God, it's only God working in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The dragon, the woman, and the child. The dragon is still here. And if we are the bride of Christ, the woman is still here. And if we are in Christ, the child is still here. If we're not in Christ, the child is still here. We're not a part of it. But if we're in Christ, the dragon, the devil will hate us. But if we're in him, we will overcome. And where he sits, we will sit. We will rule. And as Ephesians talks about, we'll be seated together in heavenly places in him. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your goodness and your magnificent grace and glory. I want to be identified with the woman. I want to be identified with you. I want to be perfectly joined with you and your Father and one with those that love you. I want to be the enemy of the dragon. And in being so, I realize that not only for me, but that all that hear my voice and love your appearing in kingdom, this is what must be. Help us to be steadfast and unmovable and overcome, I pray, in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus, the magnificent Christ. Amen, amen, and even so, amen.